The summit provides an opportunity to rethink the peace process. It's stagnant now and it needs to be revived given the worsening humanitarian conditions in the country and the fact that the conflict is spreading all over and there's no end in sight to it. And so this requires a radical rethink of the process. What should be done now is for IGAD actually to also use its leverage to ensure that the warring parties are pressured to come to the negotiating table and craft a peaceful path for South Sudan. And the use of financial pressures on the perpetrators of the conflict on both sides is essential. And at this particular point, it would do good if IGAD actually puts its weight behind supporting an arms embargo on South Sudan.
Yes, you did mention that this summit gives or provides the opportunity to revisit the peace agreement. Now, the government, on the other hand, has been arguing that they have been implementing the agreement. Do you see this really happening within this summit?
Well, if the government is implementing an agreement that is viable, that is credible, there will be no escalation of fighting. What we have seen is opposite to what the government is saying. The fighting is spreading. Technically, Taban Deng's presence in government should have stopped the fighting, but we're seeing that this is not happening. The other important thing to note is that the conflict is no longer a conflict between the SPLM-IO and the government. There are other actors that have come into the conflict. For instance, in Upper Nile and also in Equatoria, there's so many armed groups that have appeared. These actors also now need to be at the negotiating table. Excluding them is going to be contrary to crafting a peaceful path for South Sudan.
Yes, still on this summit, concerns have also been raised that such summits have become more talk shops with no tangible solutions made by the actors. What could be the game changer in the quest for peace in South Sudan?
If you look at the worsening humanitarian situation, nearly 2 million people internally displaced, almost 1 million people outside of the country, this should actually now motivate the IGAD leaders to not just look at this war from a political perspective, but also view the dire humanitarian conditions, the suffering of the people, as an incentive to actually come up with a tangible solution to the conflict.
Yes, now several efforts have been put to bring significant changes in the situation in South Sudan, and one of them is just the national dialogue that is being seen as one of the next options. I mean, what are your thoughts about the national dialogue?
Well, first of all, the national dialogue is not inclusive, as the armed opposition is barred from participating. The conveners have said that they will reach out to every group, contradicting the president, who has said that Riek Machar, the leader of the armed opposition, is not welcome to the conference. I think that, you know, this is counterproductive. So a reconstituted process, which was unveiled in May, has eradicated the role of the president as part of the process. But his statements suggest that he looms large in the background, not to mention the fact that the steering committee is also stuck with very close cronies of his. So this dialogue, therefore, is increasingly looking like a national monologue without the participation of the armed opposition. The ultimate outcome may, you know, result in legitimizing the extended stay of the current government in power, given that elections are due in 2018. And this is not something that is helpful to the country at this particular point. Secondly, there's lack of a conducive atmosphere in which to host this dialogue. You know, the absence of a credible ceasefire, for instance, is one example. Also, several problematic laws inhibit free expression and give the security power organs, you know, wide-reaching powers of arrest and detention without trial. These have not been repealed. So how can the armed opposition or others participate freely in these circumstances? Journalists, for instance, are routinely arrested and they're reporting censored. Freedom of expression, freedom of assembly remains an issue. In Cuba right now, for 10 people to gather in one location, they need a permit from the security organs. So these hurdles inhibit, a conducive atmosphere for holding this national dialogue. So this national dialogue may end up looking like a national monologue. And that is not what we want really in South Sudan if we are all serious about peace.
All right. Brian, just before you go, as ENAF project and, of course, you as an individual, what is your recommendation now for really tangible peace to come to the country?
All the actors in this conflict need to come to the table. And participate. They should first of all negotiate a credible ceasefire that everyone recognizes and accepts to create a conducive atmosphere for talks to ensue. We need to revisit the power sharing agreement stipulation in the collapse peace agreement and to ensure that everyone is participating in it. We also need to look at the security arrangements in the collapse agreement because the agreement itself has parts of it which are really still good, but the power sharing component and the security arrangements need to be revisited to make sure that the agreement is applicable and has the support of all the actors in this conflict.